There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise right out of the ground. Ain't no grave can hold my body down.
All right, welcome to Blind Squirrel Radio. In honor of Robert, we play some Johnny Cash this week. The man in black, is he not awesome or what?
Indeed.
Yes. Awesomely gone now.
Yes, he's gone.
Yes.
But this was recorded right before he died, so. And you can really hear in his voice he's getting old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
yeah.
It just makes
He never had like a great voice, but you know, everyone could relate to him.
Yes.
So.
But it just makes the song that much creepier, with the old voice.
Mm-hmm.
That much more pungent. No, not pungent. Pungent stinky.
No,
right?
No, that's not. That's like cheese.
Poignant.
Cheese is pungent.
Poignant. That's what the word.
Poignant.
All right. Well, welcome back to Blind Squirrel Radio. We have here with me, I'm Brad McFadden. I'm your lovely and beautiful host. And to my left is Kidge, the awesome race master.
Wait, race master?
Yes.
Let's not make this about race.
Like racing, not race as in color of your skin.
Oh.
Yes, racing as in on the Xbox.
Yeah, because I am the biggest fan of racing games ever.
There you go.
We can
and
go
then
that.
To my right is Robert Slim Jim. It's just us guest. Do you want me to use your last name on the show? I don't like to use people's names unless they give me permission. But so just Robert Slim Jim. There you go.
Okay. I got Skyped out.
Oh, no.
There he goes.
What is it always with Robert?
It's number one Kidge. For this episode.
Yes.
All I heard was Slim Jim, and I got hungry.
Okay. And he ran off to get some to eat. All right. Well, let's jump right into the show. We will start with the fact that we have a phone call.
Woo!
Pretty awesome. Actually, we have two. First phone call, the audio was not that good, but the caller was requesting that we add a verse, and I think it's a really good verse. It's what was it, Kidge? Psalm 13:5.
Can you read? It says, "But I have trusted in your mercy; my heart shall rejoice in your salvation." It's pretty good.
That is great. I'm sorry, I thought somebody was calling in on us there.
It wasn't me.
Okay, I heard a phone ring. It's weird. yes, that is a great verse, and so thank you, caller from Bakersfield, for I think it was Mona. Is who it's supposed to be. So,
yeah.
Thanks for calling in and suggesting that verse. It's a great one. And then we have this call from Albany, New York.
Hello, squirrels. John Wilkerson here. And I'm just calling to say, Brad, I am totally stealing all of your material. and I'm going to start using it with my monthly men's group meeting because this is good stuff. And I think you've really broken it down simply. Makes it very digestible, and it will go well with the breakfast that we eat at our men's meetings. So looking forward to hearing more from you and hearing the dialogue that goes on between you and Robert and Kidge. I won't say his real name, even though I know his real name. And yeah, good stuff, guys. Good stuff. Really enjoying it. And show notes. There's show notes. Oh, my goodness, it cannot be. You have turned a corner, Brad. I don't know how long you're going to stay around that corner. Show notes are great. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Thank you. Well, the good news about the show notes is they're already all done for the whole series because I have to have them to do the class. So that's a good thing. Well, thank you, John. That was very encouraging.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It scares me that we are able to corrupt a group. I mean, to feed a group of men.
Yes. Awesome. Awesome. Great. Okay. Well, then we'll just move on into the lesson. Now, to review just a little bit, we started off with the foundation for the Christian moral ethic, which is Jesus Christ. And then we we let him then from the word, from the Bible, establish the two cornerstones. The first and the greatest was love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And then he said, and the second is like that, and that is love each other. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he said the whole Bible, the law and all the prophets rest on those two cornerstones. And then he gave us a third commandment that bound those cornerstones together, because he said, love like I've loved. He didn't leave any question about how to love, or, you know what, I'm not loving myself very good today, so I don't have to love my neighbor that well. Nope, he laid it out. He said, love like I have loved. Loved using my example. And so that was our foundation and our cornerstones. And really, we couldn't go any further than that before we encounter a problem. And that is that we can't do that. We're incapable. We're broken. And so we fall short. And that falling short is what the Bible calls sin. And so through that sin, then, the beautiful thing about the Christian moral ethic is that we just return to the foundation, because it is through the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, that he made a way for us to be reconciled and be forgiven for falling short of the moral ethic. And so whenever we, as far as we go with this moral ethic, and as we expound it into our everyday life and actually get into applying it, we're always going to need that gospel. We'll always get it, which means good news. And we're always going to need to go back to the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, which is forgiveness. All we have to do is repent. All we have to do is say, you know what? I was doing this thing and I was following this and I realized I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And we have that as our foundation in our moral ethic. And that is the beauty of the moral ethic. That is the grace and the mercy that God provides in it. So it cannot fall. It will stand any storm. It will even stand our faulty building. It'll stand my faulty use of vocabulary and words and messing up and starting.
That's good.
Yep, exactly. All right, so last week we talked about, we built on the first cornerstone, which is love God, and we went over the five commandments, the first five principles that God gave based on the cornerstone of loving God, and that was honoring our parents. And through that we understood that God had made all authority, and that honoring that authority honors God. We understand that we should not make idols, that we shouldn't make idols to worship God, and we shouldn't set up idols in our life. And we shouldn't worship created things. We should only worship the Creator. And then we learned that we should have no other gods, and by that we should accept God. And one thing that I realized as I listened back to last week's show is that I failed to go over, and that is the reason that these rules, these principles that he's laying forth, these commandments, they're not arbitrary. In other words, God couldn't just say, you know what? He didn't flip a coin and say, should it be right or wrong to steal? You know, and you flip a coin and go, oh, you know what? It should be right. And then he said, you know what? It's going to be thou shalt steal. Let's flip another coin. You know, what's the next one? You know, he didn't. They're not arbitrary rules set up to govern us or to see if we can do it or to watch us fail. That's not why he set up these rules. He didn't do it willy nilly, so to speak. In other words, all of these commandments line up with his character. He cannot make a commandment that goes against his character. And the reason why he's setting forth these commandments is to tell us something about him, and so that we can understand him. So when he tells us, and we'll see that really well when we start to look at these five commandments today, but that's what that commandment is about, when it says, have no other gods. We can't change something about God that we don't like. We can't say, yeah, you know, the Bible teaches that, for instance, this is a very hot topic these days, but the Bible teaches that it is wrong or it is sinful to commit adultery. Now, that means cheating on our wives. That means being unfaithful with another man. Anything outside of the bonds of a marriage between a man and a woman is considered adultery, is considered fornication. And the Bible calls it sinful. And if we don't like that, there's nothing we can do about it. That's an aspect of God. God is faithful. And God created this marriage bond for a reason. And not just to procreate the race, but also he uses it to describe his relationship with the church and things like that. And so we can't just pick something that we all of a sudden is unpopular or we don't like and say, okay, you're right, I'll give in. You're right. Let's change God so that we'll worship a God that doesn't think that's wrong. We can't do that. We don't have that option. Mm-hmm. And if we do, then we're worshiping a different God. We're setting up a different God. And we have to be very careful there. And I know that it's kind of, there's a gray line there, but his Bible and his principles are his character. And if we start to mark those off or change them, we run the risk of worshiping a different God. That doesn't mean that we don't all sin and that one sin is worse than another. And we've got to remember that. And we've got to remember that God values people and God loves sinners. He died for the world while we were yet sinners. So let's not judge people or build hatred towards a particular group of people. I'm just use that example to explain the no other gods commandment. And then when it says keep the Sabbath, that principle, we extrapolate that out to mean, hey, let's give God our best. Let's give God our first. Let's give God our tithe. Let's take a day of rest. Let's just take 10 minutes in the morning and give to God. All those principles come from that keeping the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, was that all five of them? Okay. So, in the name of God, do not take the Lord's name in vain. And we learned that vain means useless. In other words, don't use the Lord's name uselessly. Have a reason and have a purpose behind it. And don't just throw a bumper sticker on your car and drive however way you want. Or say that, hey, the Bible says this. And without using that verse or understanding that verse in context and saying and understanding that you don't need to, you can use parts of the Bible to be judgmental towards people. That's part of the problem and the way people react these or interact these days. But understand the verse in context and what it's really talking about. Otherwise, you run the risk of taking the Lord's name in vain.
Wow, that's a really interesting way of looking at it. I don't think I ever looked at it that way before, but we from like Christian to Christian, we'll use verses like as weapons. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And probably the most dangerous way to use that is in a marriage. You know, like if you've ever tried to convince your wife of something if you're like arguing and, you know, if you like reach for the Bible, that's probably the worst time to reach for the Bible, right? Yeah. Because you're going to use that verse, you know, to like try and get her to believe something, you know, or to change something that she's doing or not doing. And that's just the wrong attitude, I think.
Well, yeah, it's called, there's actually a term for it. It's called proof texting. And it's when you go to the Bible to back you up. If you're going to the Bible to back up something you've said or back up or, you know, to try to pull out a verse to prove your point, that's called proof texting. And you're trying to find some proof in the text of what you've already said out of your flesh.
Oh.
Like, you're supposed to be submissive to me and do what I say. Let me show you a verse in the Bible that says that. Okay, yeah, but read the whole chapter. Okay.
Yeah,
read the two verses before that and you'll change your own heart instead of hers. You know?
Yeah. And that never ends well.
No. No, people don't react well to proof texting, and nor should they, because you're taking the Lord's name in vain. And even if they were a beautiful Christian and you throw a scripture at them like that, then they're going to recognize what you're doing and be repulsed by it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're automatically setting yourself up to fail when you do that. And believe me, I've done it a lot. Okay.
it's called Twitter.
Yes. No. Yes. Dave sent me a comment the other day that is so funny because it was a comic of a guy sitting at a computer and his wife saying, "Honey, you're coming to dinner?" And he says, "Just a minute, somebody on the internet is wrong."
Yes.
That's XKCD right there.
Oh, that was greatness. All right, so let's move on now to what we're going to talk about this week, which is the five commandments related to the other cornerstone, and that is loving each other as ourselves. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love each other. And so these five commandments relate to that aspect. And we'll start with do not covet. Now, covetousness is selfishness. It's wanting something of somebody else's. Now, Kidge has a killer laptop. Okay, he's got this. Even he's got one of those tablophones, or those phonolets, whatever you want to call them. It's this giant, you know, nice tablet phone, and it's very sweet. Now, if I want one like that, that's not coveting. If I want his, that's coveting. And this really, the commandment makes it very clear that, especially when it applies to people, because there aren't two people that are the same. It says, do not covet your neighbor's wife. And it goes on to describe other things, but it starts with wife. Mm-hmm. And, but that's very true. You know, it's hard to want a wife like Faith. I mean, like Kidge's wife. If you want a wife like Kidge's wife, you're just basically saying you want Kidge's wife, because there's no other wife like, there's no other woman like Swifty.
Amen.
So it says, don't do that. Okay. You know, don't let your eyes rest on your neighbor's wife. But it applies to people in general, and people get jealous of other people's friends and other relationships. Don't do that. You know, you just pray for a wife that fits you. Pray for a friend that fits you, that God has picked out for you. And don't worry about what somebody else has. But anyway, that's coveting. That's the difference between wanting something and coveting it. A lot of other sins stem from coveting. It's first we covet, then we steal, you know, which violates a whole nother commandment. Mm. So coveting leads to other sins, whether it's adultery, whether it's stealing. So that's why it's first. Now, let's go to steal.
Noticed that progression before. That's a very awesome insight.
Well, thank
that you wouldn't steal unless you coveted something.
Right.
So I can actually come up with a scenario where these go in order. First, you want someone's wife, so you steal something in order to lie about the guy so you can kill him, and then you can take his wife. There you go. It kind of falls apart, but still.
I think Robert's got a whole master plan over there about
it. I'm going to write a story based on the Ten Commandments.
That'd be awesome.
Well, these five commandments, there actually has been, I think, but I didn't look it up for the show, but what David did with Bathsheba supposedly broke all five of these. So yeah. I've heard a sermon on that, but I don't remember it right off the top of my head. But you might want to look that up. All right. So we covet it and then we steal. And then in stealing, there's different things you can steal. Okay. When we think about stealing, we usually think about objects or possessions, but there's more than that. You can steal someone's time. That's why the principle of being late is rude, because you're stealing somebody else's time. If you made an appointment to be at a certain place at a certain time, then you're wasting somebody else's time if you're not there. So you can steal somebody else's dominion. This is where, you know, this is why you don't cut in line. If you cut in line, then you're breaking this commandment, because you're stealing somebody else's place, somebody else's dominion.
And, wow, you can tell that this was written for school children.
Yes.
Also, talking in the hallways. It's a form of stealing.
No, you can talk in the hallways.
I thought we lost Brad for a second there.
Yeah. No, he's just disgusted.
Very awkward.
All right. You can also steal somebody's reputation. And this is really where do not gossip, do not spread rumors, don't tell lies about people. I mean, this is where those principles come from, this principle. And you can steal truth by lying. I mean, there's some crossover between this and some other commandments, as we'll see. Mm-hmm. And that leads us into the next one, which is do not bear false witness. Now, when I ask this of my students, somebody always says, do not lie. That's not a commandment. The commandment is not do not lie. The commandment is do not bear false witness. Lying, the idea that you shouldn't tell a lie, that principle really comes from the do not steal. But it also applies to the do not bear false witness, because bearing false witness means to say something about somebody else that you say that you're witnessing that you didn't. It also implies that if you're the only one who saw it, then you're bearing a false witness. There has to be more than one witness. And if you say something about somebody or something that you witnessed alone, then that's considered in the old Hebrew to be bearing a false witness. If only one person saw it, then you shouldn't bring it out in the public. You can go to that person with it. Say, I saw what you did, and that's not right, and you need to repent, whatever. But you can't bring somebody up on trial if only one person saw it.
Well, yeah, consider the culture in which this was first written. I mean, you know, if you bear false witness, you could literally lead someone to death.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
You could get stoned for just about anything back then. Hangnail, they'll stone you. Right off the bat, so.
Well, then what can we do now on the internet, with like bearing false witness? I mean, we can ruin someone's life.
Sure.
It can be like cyberbullying.
Oh, yes.
Like, you know, and this is really kind of silly, but all of the political ads.
Yes. Yeah,
that's true.
You know?
They're all guilty of this one.
Right.
Right.
I should, I guess I should come clean, guys. I really don't like racing games.
Oh. Because I have like a great list that I was going to give you.
Well, Mario Kart, but beyond that.
I love Mario Kart. I'm a master of Mario Kart.
That's not even the best one.
I'm a master of Mario Kart. All right.
Anyway.
So, yeah, we should not bear false witness. Then the next one is, this is the one that I always get, do not kill. You know, somebody will always say, do not kill. That's not a commandment. The commandment is do not murder, which is to kill for selfish reasons. And again, as we're seeing here, we're seeing things about God. We're seeing God's character. God is not a covetous God. God is not a selfish God. Okay. Mm-hmm. God is not steal. God gives. God is not bear false witness. God tells the truth. In fact, Jesus came to the earth. His stated purpose in coming was not to save the world. It was not to die on the cross. I mean, he did those things, and those things are wonderful. But his stated purpose was to bear witness to the truth. That's right. How important it was to God. And then God does not murder. God does not kill for selfish gain or for selfish reasons. That's what the do not murder is about. Now, killing, there are reasons to kill. You kill for your supper, right? That's not a sin. It's not a sin to put someone to death for a capital punishment. It's not, at least in the Bible, it's not considered to be. Okay, we can argue about whether it's right or wrong, or whether we should do it as a society. But in the Bible, it's not a sin. Okay, right. And this is violence in general. This applies, or this is where we get the principle of we should not be violent towards each other. We shouldn't beat each other up for sinful reasons, for selfish reasons. We shouldn't beat somebody up because we want their sneakers. But it does allow us to defend ourselves using violence. Mm-hmm. So that's what, you know, this is a simple command, but there's a lot wrapped up in there. Just like it's not a sin to tell you we're going to go over to my house to pick up my baseball glove before we go to practice. But when we get there was a big surprise party for you. I didn't really mean to. I wasn't really coming to get my baseball glove. Okay, I lied, but I didn't bear false witness. You see what I mean? I was doing something good for you. So in that, I was not sinning. See how the principles work?
Mind blown.
Yeah, but I've always wondered about that situation specifically.
And then,
okay, so but, and that's if they why end up we not can't... liking the party. It wasn't really to their benefit, was it?
Well,
it was a lousy gift.
If they're incredibly shy, and you did it for their,
I don't like surprises parties or anything like that.
Okay, well, I'll mark that down.
Which is why I've never thrown you one, kids.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
I've got your back.
Or what if you tell your wife, I can't afford, I know you really want this thing, but I can't afford to get it for you. And then 3 months later for Christmas, you went and bought it for her because you saved up all your money. And then did you lie?
No, because you were still telling the truth then.
Well, the point is that we don't want to become legalistic. We want to stick to the principles. We want to serve the principles and not become legalistic in the rules. Listen to what the commandments are saying. There's a lot of... And it has a lot to do with serving those principles and not so much about following particular rules.
Now, do you believe that there is such a thing as lie by omission?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. I give this moral dilemma to my children at school. When I say, all right, you come home, you were playing around when you shouldn't have and you broke the lamp. And then you had to go out and do your chores. And you know you better get your chores done because when your mom gets home, you have to explain about the lamp. So you better have all your chores done. So you go out and you're doing your chores. Meanwhile, your mom comes home, sees the lamp broken and the dog playing with a ball, and assumes the dog broke the lamp. She cleans it up, and when you come in, she tells you, man, did you see what Rover did? He broke the lamp. Now, are you bound to can you let it go without sinning? Or are you bound to fess up and tell the truth?
But what if it'll hurt her feelings?
The sin is lying by omission.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're supposed to tell her
that. Yeah. Unfortunately, the Bible doesn't always do what we want it to do.
Right.
All right, the last commandment, do not commit adultery. Now, this really speaks to faithfulness. God does not commit adultery. He is faithful to his people. He is faithful to us. And he commands that faithfulness in us as part of our character. That doesn't mean we don't get divorced. It doesn't mean we don't mess up. It also doesn't mean there's not forgiveness. When we do mess up, we go back. We go back to the foundation of our moral ethic, Jesus Christ, and ask for forgiveness. But what it does mean is we can't dedicate ourselves to a life of adultery, a life of fornication, a life of unfaithfulness, and expect God to continue to forgive us without us repenting. He says he won't do that. Mm. We must repent. We must come back. And he is faithful to forgive us. But we can't dedicate ourselves to a life of adultery or to a life of unfaithfulness.
This one seems to mimic not having any other gods before him, showing that he doesn't want us to be adulterous to him. And then now to each other.
Yes, Robert. And that's a very good point. In fact, when the Jewish people would go off and worship other gods or establish other idols, that's what he would call it. He would call it adultery.
That's true.
And in Jeremiah 3, he actually granted a divorce based on this adultery. He granted a divorce to his people. And so, but he forgave them. And so... There you go. There's the five that relate to each other, but you can also see how they relate to God.
Yeah, absolutely.
Huh.
All right. Well, that's something to chew on for a week.
Yeah.
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 What's coming up next time?
Next time, we are going to discuss... Thanks for asking, since I wasn't ready.
I figured.
Well, I had scheduled next time to discuss the gospel, but we mixed it in this time. So next time we will be addressing we're going to talk about some ologies. Because I think one of the important things we talked a little bit about not changing who God is. So let's look at some ologies, what I call the ologies, theology, Christology, those kinds of things. So we'll look at some. We'll look at some ologies next week. How's that?
Cool.
This week, Kidge has promised to bring us something interesting about a video game.
Yes. So, as I am wont to do, every now and then I will find some new fancy video game that is still in development and every day I will see if there's some new news update or something to kind of satisfy my interest and see, oh, when's it going to come out? When can I play it?
Yes.
Well, the last game that I have that has recently caught my eye is a game called Planet Side 2.
Planet Side 2.
And it has actually recently entered beta testing.
Now, how do you get in on the beta? I've always wondered about that. How do you get in? How do you get in on the beta?
Well, I had actually gone to the webpage and said, sign me up for the beta. But they were also handing out beta keys. So, like, you know, with any software, you get like a license key. Well, they were handing out these license keys for the beta version of the game so that you could get in early and start testing out the functionality of it. It's actually kind of it's a good way of how they're doing the beta on this one, because a lot of times betas have been just more of an early access sort of thing. Like, come, you know, check out our cool, awesome game, but we don't really care if you find any bugs because it's too late for us to find bugs. This one, it's actually, please tell us every bug and glitch that you find, because the game is not done yet and we want us to find all the bugs. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So you are, is it hindering your experience though? Or is it adding to it with messing with a piece of software that doesn't, is not perfect yet?
When it's not done, I mean, I can very easily play the game and be in the game, and then a bug will pop up, or like, say this guy's running across the field, but it looks like his character is just flying sort of thing. That's okay. A bug. So I'll report that. Which can be dangerous if you're reporting it in the middle of a firefight, because then you'll die.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Even though you can fly, I would not report that. That sounds cool.
Yeah, I would just let it fly.
I guess I should actually say what the game actually is. So this is a free-to-play first-person shooter. You don't have to spend a single dime on the entire game to play it. Free to download, free to keep playing, all that sort of thing. It is one of the first massively multiplayer online first-person shooters. Most multiplayer first-person shooters are going to be 16 versus 16 or 32 versus 32.
Yeah.
The way this one works is that it's thousands versus thousands.
Wow. That sounds chaotic.
On a map that is 100 times larger than a regular first-person shooter map.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You're playing Capture the Flag in a giant field.
There are humans from Earth found that they could have, like, warp hole technology or whatever, and so they've traveled off to this distant planet and started developing their own colonies there, and then the wormhole collapsed, and so this planet was cut off from Earth. And on this planet, the original group was the Terran Republic, and they were saying, okay, well, we, you know, because of the chaos, we need to keep order, and let's keep to the these fundamentals of, we need to have this sort of law, this sort of order, these sort of regulations, this sort of justice, that sort of thing. During this time, they also found ancient alien technology or whatever, and so some splinter group of scientists and soldiers split off and said, we don't want to be controlled by this, you know, totalitarian government anymore. We believe that the future of mankind is exploring these alien technologies and developing new fancy ways of doing stuff through this. Well, the Terran Republic didn't really take kindly to that, and so they declared war on these alien separatists, and these alien separatists called themselves the Vanu Sovereignty. And during all this, because there was another splinter group that said, well, we don't really feel – we feel that mankind is pretty good the way it is, but we don't like the oppressive regime of the Terran Republic, so we're going to break off as a group of freedom fighters who are just going to take whatever we can get to fight the oppression of totalitarianism, called the New Conglomerate. And so you have
very
three factions warring for control over the different – factories and facilities and buildings and bases and resources all on this planet, so that they can have supreme control over the planet and impose their own ideology.
So some people who are playing have the mission of attacking the factory. The other people that are playing have the mission of defending the factory.
Yes. And by the factory, there are like 64 on one continent. So you can be defending this factory over here while another group of guys are attacking some other faction's group over there, and it could be that two factions are attacking one factory that the other faction is defending, then it's just mass chaos.
What happened to, like, those are the blue guys and we're the red guys, let's kill them?
Yeah. And then the purple guys are the aliens.
Much, much simpler. Okay.
Oh, so there is a third group.
Yeah. Yes.
So how long did it take you to read the novel before you could start playing the game?
There actually isn't much of a novel. It was just like a couple paragraphs on the Wikipedia page sort of thing.
Oh, wow.
So
it sounds good. So is it like a capture the flag style?
It's sort of. It's not really a capture the flag so much. It's more of, you know, capture and hold sort of thing. Like, did you ever play Star Wars Battlefront?
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
Only with a third element.
Yes. And it's not like, oh, you know, if your team runs out of points, then you lose and the game resets. What the big thing about this is that the game never resets. It's always going. There's no timer.
Okay.
And so you can log in, you know, on Tuesday and you'll control, you know, half of the continent, and you'll log in the next day and you'll only control a fourth of it because you've been pushed back.
Oh my goodness.
You'll fight back these other forces and retake control of whatever your territory is. And yeah.
Cool. Wow, that sounds pretty intense.
It does. So it's a sci-fi thing. There are various different sort of guns you can have. And you can be like a medic or an engineer, and an engineer can repair the ATVs and tanks that you will drive around in, and like armored troop transports. And then, or you could also be a pilot and fly either the jets or the troop transport carrier things or giant gunships. So, and you can customize everything that you would want. So you can say, oh, well, I want this sort of scope because I like it better, or I want extra points into my armor and less into running,
so
or something like that.
This is another one of those games for people without kids. Is that basically what you're saying?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So here's really my only question. It seems like if you even get a scratch, it's going to get infected, and you know, and you're just going to die, because who's going to be a medic?
Nobody's going to be a medic. I bet the medics get to kill people too.
Is supposed to be all very strategic and logistical and that sort of thing. So I was actually playing a medic for several hours yesterday.
Oh, did you get to kill people as a medic?
Yeah. What's that?
Do you get to kill people as a medic?
Yeah, you get a gun too.
Oh, okay.
A gun that is just as powerful as everyone else's gun.
Oh, okay. You just have stuff to heal people.
Huh.
Yeah, exactly.
So, let's say maybe you're just not good at it. Can you still like rack up a lot of dead bodies? Like, you're just gonna skip the guy that's, you know, yelling medic and go kill some guy. So, oh, well, sorry, I'm just not very good at it.
Yeah, right.
I'm a medic, but
don't fight a war with me if I'm gonna be the medic. Okay?
I'm sending all my drugs back home for the black market.
But then if you're not going to be the medic, then you can be like the heavy assault, or you can be a max unit, which is actually like a mech of some sort that has huge arm mounted cannons.
I want to be the pilot.
I want to be a fairy.
Be a pilot, then.
I want to be a pink fairy.
A tooth fairy?
Pink fairy? Do they have pink fairies? I could be one of those.
The aliens are purple. That's kind of close to that.
Mm. Do they have
their
fluffy?
Max units look like crabs.
Do they have fluffy wings?
They've got like pincers.
I want fluffy wings.
That's kind of like a fairy.
Not really.
Is there a character where I get to use a bow staff? I really like a bow staff.
Oh, my goodness.
No, not this game.
Oh.
All right. So who put down the topic Downton Abbey?
Downton Abbey.
Okay. Yes, let me say that again. Who put down the topic Downton Abbey? Is that the English comedy?
No, it's not a comedy at all.
Oh, it's not a comedy at all.
Downton Abbey is a British drama.
A British drama. Okay.
Yes. I put it down if we want to talk more about other things, but we don't have to.
Well, are you watching it on Netflix?
Yes.
Okay. Is it streaming?
It's a drama that takes place from the time – it starts at the time of the Titanic sinking and follows the story of a manor in England where the next heirs to this earl ship, whatever it's called, died on the Titanic. and the whole drama of who's going to be the next in succession. Mm-hmm. So not only follows that sort of story, but also follows the story of the servants that, that serve this family that lives in this house.
Cool.
Mm. And it John goes Cleese through World War One. And, you know, there's – we just watched – we're in the middle of an episode of the Spanish flu breaking out.
So oh, yeah.
Have died that you're like, I really liked that character.
1918.
Yeah,
is,
buddy.
Now, is John Cleese in this?
What's that?
Is John Cleese in this?
No. That's Fawlty Towers.
Oh. Okay. All right. Well, wait. Mr.
But
B
is
Mr.
also a very similar storyline to that one.
Is Mr. So.
No.
Wait. Is Mr. Bean
Fawlty
in this?
Fawlty Towers took place after World War II.
Right, and it was a comedy.
Yes.
Is Mr. Bean in this one? Mr. Bean.
It's a good show if you like drama and characters and stuff.
Can they all not hear
now,
me?
Do you have Hello? To turn your TV up to like 50 just to hear the English accents? You know, to
I'm accustomed
out?
To them.
You're accustomed.
I don't care what the character or what the show is or when it's set. I have to turn my TV up so loud because I swear they're all mumbling. And I know they're not, but
yeah.
You know, I'm just not used to hearing it.
You need to hear the diction, right?
I actually don't remember seeing anyone's mouths moving when they talk.
I don't think they know how unless it's more of like a Cockney thing. Then their mouth's wide open.
So stiff upper lip. Stiff upper lip.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
You know what I love? You know what I love?
Listeners.
You know what I love about Downton Abbey is when they break in with the little cartoon cutouts.
No.
No.
That's Monty Python.
Oh, okay. Was,
right. I love the Bigfoot. That's
the Bigfoot, yeah.
That's the Bigfoot crushes the little, you know.
Guys, I got a problem. I got a problem in my marriage.
What is it?
I got a problem in my marriage, Robert.
Okay, well, if that persists more than 4 hours, you should go see a doctor.
No, not that kind of problem.
Wait, what?
No, it's that my wife, it's that I've become a prop. We go to bed, and we have one of these Kindle Fires, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my wife likes to watch Monk as we fall asleep.
Okay.
Well, we don't have a television in our bedroom because we thought that was a bad idea.
So you just sleep on the couch?
No. So no, we go to bed with the Kindle Fire, and she puts on the Netflix, and she puts on the Monk. Okay. But because it's a tablet, it doesn't stand up by itself. It's not mounted on the wall like a television. So she just props it up next to me. And uses me to hold up the fire. Now, meanwhile, I'm trying to go to sleep. So if I turn over, it messes up and she hits me. She's like, be still. I'm trying to watch Monk. And, you know, and she like has to adjust. She like will adjust my arm so that it's at the right angle and everything. I'm like, leave me alone. I'm not just your prop for your Kindle, you know.
This
I don't know what to do about this.
You know, I'm here for you, Brad.
Y'all can write in and and tell me what I should do about this. If you would like to contact the show, by the way, you know, we had a call at the beginning of the show, and I never gave out the number. It's 224-225-9297. You can call in about any questions you might have about the lesson, or if you have comments about our after chat that we do, feel free to chime in. 224-225-9297. Well, guys, do you have anything else to add? Oh, Robert wanted to talk about Kidge's lawn mowing.
Yes. I really just have one question. What color burka do you use? Because I know that you don't like to go outside.
Just kidding.
Dude, I got a farmer's tan.
You have a farmer's tan.
I wear shorts. That's the only time I wear shorts. I'm brave. I'll take those little shards of grass.
Now, do you have a push mower? Kidge, do you have a push mower? Or is it a self-propelled, or is it a riding lawnmower?
It is a push mower.
Wow.
It's an electric mower, but...
Electric?
It's kind of like a vacuum cleaner for my grass.
I can see, Kidge. I can see it. Black socks, Birkenstock sandals.
No, white shorts.
White stuff on his nose.
And Birkenstocks. Perfect.
With his electric mower.
Congratulations, you're old.
An electric mower.
Yeah.
Is it a rechargeable or on a long extension cord?
On a long extension cord.
Does it go?
No, it sounds like a real. It sounds like an actual lawnmower, real one.
I bet you it didn't sound like mine.
What's that?
I said, I bet you it didn't sound like mine. Mine's out of control.
Brad's has a glass pack on it.
Might as well.
I haven't mowed a lawn in 8 years.
See, now this is what I wanted to talk about. No, that's right. You don't have yard.
No.
Oh, that's the nice thing.
It is frowned upon to have a large thing of grass.
So you just rake sand. It's basically what you do, right?
Well, we have rocks. Rocks.
Rocks.
Yeah.
What about in the backyard?
Because of everyone's allergies.
What about backyard?
Rocks.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That does not sound like it would be fun to play football on.
Football outside in Vegas.
Ooh, wow.
His laugh is contagious.
Why did anybody live in Vegas before air conditioning? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
Did Vegas just spring up after air conditioning was invented?
That's a good question I cannot
Robert,
answer for you.
Robert? Hello? Robert? We lost Robert.
Oh.
Well, to me, lawn mowing is for you young folk, okay? Because one of the things that now, when I'm poor, like right now, I actually mow my own yard, but I regret it because that's the one thing I will pay for. I will do without whatever I have to do without to have somebody else mow my yard. I'll just, I was paying a college student and he went off to college. I mean, of course he went off to college, but. So then
well, there's your problem.
Yeah, when he goes up to college, then I have to mow for September because he's gone. But, yeah, that's a younger man's sport, that lawn mowing thing.
So you're not like Hank Hill. Well, I got some Augustine grass here.
Yeah. Well, I used to be, but I've reached the time in my life when it's like, you know what? I don't have time. I don't have 2 hours on Saturday to waste on that. I got other stuff I need to be doing.
2 hours. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it does take
that sounds
2 hours.
Like a huge yard.
Well, first you have to mow it. Okay. Let me tell you about the mowing, okay? Because the problem with the mowing is it's not about the mowing. First of all, you got to mow it. And I don't have an electric, newfangled robo mower like youngster over here has.
Do you have to worry about running over a cord like I do?
I have a lawnmower that I've got to prime. I've got to change the oil in it. I got to adjust the carburetor. I got to, I've got to do all that. And then I got to get the gas oil mixture just right.
And that's why I have an electric mower.
And then you got to crank on that thing for 5 minutes. And you got to wire something together that broke the last time you mowed.
I have rocks.
So you do that. So then you mow. And then you're not done. No. You're not done.
You got to edge.
And I'm such a perfectionist. I got to get the edger. Okay. Don't take the weed eater down the side of your yard and call it edging. That is not
edging.
I'll
do that. I would do that.
No, that is not edging. You got to get the edger out with the metal blade that goes down the sidewalk. And
those are dangerous, and I'll tell you why. Because as a kid, if you're like riding on the sidewalk, inevitably your front tire will fall into that groove and fall over.
It's true.
I gotta have that
nice big groove there. So then once you get through edging, then you have to weed eat, because then you gotta go around your tree and you gotta go over there and you gotta go around your other little things in your yard that you gotta edge and you gotta do all that. Then you're not done. You think you'd be done, but you're not done, because then you got to blow all the stuff back, all the extra clippings that are on your sidewalk and your driveway and the street. You got to blow all those back up into your yard.
Then you have to rake.
No, I don't rake.
Oh, yeah. You don't rake. No,
let the sun do its job at that point. It's compost.
Okay, it's fertilizer.
Instant compost, yes. So then you got to put all that stuff away and do the maintenance on all that. And they're all gasoline powered, so have fun. Yeah.
That sounds terrible. And I remember those days.
Oh, man. So that's why it's worth paying somebody else to do it.
You want to know what's even worse? My weed whacker will go through an entire spool.
Oh, no.
In just the backyard.
Because you got a chain link fence?
No.
Oh.
It's just stupid.
It's just stupid.
My wife says I do it wrong.
Well, I think you're doing something wrong.
Maybe.
Think maybe she might have a point.
It's a sore source of contention in our marriage.
Oh, okay.
Okay, look, here's what you do. You get one of the weed whackers that has the, they're not, it's not the spool, but it's like these little clips.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like yay long and they don't break.
Right.
Ah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But if you hit your leg with one of those,
you're going to the hospital.
Oh, my gosh.
Just go directly to the hospital.
So maybe you want to wear jeans, okay?
Yeah. Good night, man.
No, I don't use that automatic feeder thingy on my. As soon as I buy an edger, a weed eater, whatever, I take that spool off, chunk that puppy out the way. No. I need one that you put the little links of stuff in. Yeah.
I need to check out, see if that's available for my weed whacker.
I'm sure it is. Is your weed whacker gasoline powered?
No.
God, no wonder you're such a dweeb.
I'm cheap and I don't want to pay for gas. And maintenance. Yeah.
Underpowered little toy.
That thing holds almost a cup.
Yeah. I use like almost a gallon every 2 years.
But still, you have to use a gallon. I don't have to use a gallon. Yeah. I plug it in and it works.
Burn that thing up. Like underpowered. No wonder you go. It'd probably take you forever with a little. No, I can't do it. Give me a big one. All right. We've talked about everything on this show.
Absolutely.
Well, it's past my bedtime. And I know kids just got to get off and recharge some lawn equipment. So.
Exactly.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us this week on Blind Squirrel Radio. Tune in again next time when we say, Vayos con Dios.
Vayos con Dios.
Vayos con Dios.